Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Serious Issues. It's been a while, but I'm back. My name's Andrew Levins, and I have two special guests with me today. You may know them as hosts and guests on their own podcast. I don't know if you guys are you're hosts, I guess.
Yeah.
They are the Mario boys. We've got Joel Dusha and Jackson Bailey from Stance Pants Radio's own Plumbing the Death Star, Thumb Cramps, Jackson Bailey Spooks America, and How Good's Footy.
That's it. We also do Baseless Speculation.
Yeah, that's true. Oh,
of course.
And I consider myself a guest on all of them.
Yeah. I find myself friend of the network.
Yeah. That's good too.
You're loathed but, fool of the network.
Yeah. You guys are, you know, you have podcasts about playing video games and watching movies and being terrible at pop culture guessing. And sports sometimes and horror. One thing that you do a lot of that you don't really talk about much is comic books.
That's true. Yeah.
Occasionally, comic book knowledge will just come up on our various podcasts and people like, wow. And then we won't really address it and then it'll just move on.
It's always very obvious from Zammit because it sort of like feels like falling into a black hole when he starts talking about any Marvel, anything. You're like, oh, I'm aging a million years in a second. Cool.
My head looks like Professor X now.
My hair's falling out. Oh, no. But definitely, yeah, each of us, we're all big comic book heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Jackson, what kind of comics do you tend to read?
I typically read horror comics. That's sort of the genre I love. Like anything from, like, I don't know, what have I been reading recently? Something Is Killing Children is one I'm reading at the moment.
Yep.
That's pretty good. It's okay. It's not great. Even like stuff like Baby Teeth. I love anything by Mike Mignola and like the Hellboy series and the Baltimore series and all of that. But even like I love reading like old creepy and old eerie and stuff, like those kind of like early horror comics from, you know, like way back in the day. They're great as well. Milkman, that's a great comic series.
Very good fun.
Love Milkman. So yeah, mostly horror comics and then occasionally superhero stuff, but not really that often.
Dusha, how about you?
Yeah, so I don't read quite as much comics as Jackson because I like to read my comics physically, which is, I understand, in the year 2021, stupid of me, but
it just means you're slower, that's all.
Yeah, slower and poorer. But I really, really like, and this is going to be a very controversial opinion on this show, so straight off the bat, but not this part, but we'll get to the second part that I think will sit poorly with the host of Serious Issues.
Okay.
But I read, like a lot of like the Image comics, I know, which is like really like boring answer, but I really like things like, so like Love Saga, Love Killer Be Killed. I really, really, really like Why the Last Man, which I understand is not a new series. But recently I've really, really, really found myself loving Tom King's runs on things, except some bad examples of that, like Heroes in Crisis sucks, but a lot of people hated his Batman, but I think like the War on Riddles and Jokes was like the most enthralled I've been in a Batman story since For as long as I can remember, basically.
I've never read that, actually.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
I've never read The War of Rise and Jax.
Right.
You know how I know you've read it? Because I bought it when we were on tour, and I gave it to you and Zammet, and you both read it. And Zammet really liked it, and you felt nothing.
Well, clearly. Yeah. Because I don't recall.
It's the one with Kite Man's origin.
I don't remember any of it. I know Kite Man's origin because I can remember you telling it to me. Maybe I said I read it, but I hadn't. Maybe I lied to you.
You took it off me.
Yeah, well, maybe I just like let it sit somewhere. I don't know.
Anyway. So recently, I would say in the last year or two, haven't been reading much stuff that's come out in that period of time. I recently bought Spider-Man Life Story, but I haven't read it yet, but I know that I really like that. I really like Chip Zdarsky's Spectacular Spider-Man run.
Oh, yeah.
Most of my enjoyment comes from reading comics that make me feel bad, usually published by Image.
Yeah, fair call. Mm.
Jackson, earlier when you said you like the comic Milkman, did you mean Ice Cream Man?
Yes, I absolutely did. Yeah.
That's been bugging me for a while.
I absolutely did mean Ice Cream Man. And to be honest, not every issue is great in it, but some are spectacular, I reckon.
Yeah, it's a very fun and creative book.
Yeah.
So you like comics, but Jackson, I know you famously hate anime.
I do. I don't like anime, and every anime anybody's ever shown me has made me sick. So,
and I like anime.
God, even the ones people are like, oh, you'll love this, Jackson. Watch Cowboy Bebop. I don't like it. Samurai Champloo. I don't like it. Space Dandy. I don't like it. Nothing. Nothing tickles my little dirty fancy.
Except for Studio Ghibli films, which Jackson does really love.
Hayao Miyazaki gets a pass.
Okay. So when people say, surely there's some stuff Jackson likes, he can't hate all anime. And Jackson says, nah, I hate all anime. Yeah. He doesn't hate all anime. He likes of the Studio Ghibli stuff.
Yes, definitely not all as well.
You like, what about The Count of Cagliostro, the first movie that Miyazaki made? Have you watched that?
No.
The Lupin, movie?
No, I haven't seen it.
Watch that, and then I can try and get you into the Lupin series.
No.
It's a crime dude. He's a lovable thief.
The premise will never sell me. Some of the premises people have suggested have been good. But when I watch it, I hate everyone and wish everyone would shut up. So...
Because, do you watch things in the English dub or do you watch them with English
subtitles?
Yeah. Are you imagining them to have really annoying voices when they read because you're reading them in your own voice?
I just don't like the way they talk. Yeah.
They all sound like me.
Yeah.
Why do they all sound like this?
Oh, I'm Porco Rosso. I'm going to get in a plane.
I like Porco Rosso. He's a pig in World War One.
Which ones do you like? Because, again, on the same tour that we were talking about where I bought this comic book that you definitely read.
I don't know.
You also bought three DVDs.
Yeah, I did. Hayao Miyazaki films. I like Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind, Laputa, Castle in the Sky,
Porco Rosso. I think those are the three because you bought three DVDs.
Yeah, I think they were the three. What? There's one more. I wish that I can't remember that I also really liked, but it's
Princess.
Huh?
Ponyo?
No, I didn't really like Ponyo. Ponyo annoyed me. Yeah, Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
I like that one too. It's gross.
Okay. Yeah. But you bought three of those and then we went into a VR thing and then you put them down. No, you went into a change room somewhere.
And I put them down and didn't pick them up again. Yeah. I lost them. And then I recovered them. A fan collected them for me like an angel.
Oh, do you have? I thought you lost them.
No. A fan was like, hey, I found them. It was the fan who showed us the VR room.
Oh.
They were like, here it is. I found it for you. And I was like, yes, I finally got them. But I only watched like two of them and you know.
Whose podcast is this? What podcast is this? The reason I bring up anime is that I was surprised, Jackson, that you do read manga.
Yes, but
some of it.
Just like I only like Hayao Miyazaki, the only person or manga that I like reading or the only manga artist or creator that I like reading is Junji Ito.
Cool.
Yeah. So heaven and hell, as it were.
You know? Last year, I got obsessed. I suddenly realized there was a Junji Ito-sized hole missing in my life, and I had to fill it with as many books as possible, and I bought all of his books in like a week, which is hilarious because I'd made very little money last year because there was no DJ gigs
that
for most of it.
Is fair.
I've read all of his books now. I've talked about them on countless episodes of this podcast and Hey Fam. And while we may be interstate and 1 year away from each other, Dusha is doing the same thing I did last year right now and buying every Junji Ito book, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I started buying them last year when you got into them because I'd heard about Uzumaki for ages and I wanted to read it. But then hearing you talk about it, I was like, oh, it like kind of, I was like, all right, that was like the pushing point. I bought it, started reading it and immediately was like, oh, this is so good.
Mm.
So then I bought, and look, we're going to hit a point in this episode right now, in fact, where I'm going to have to say words that I've only read out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
People who listen to this podcast are very aware of how bad I am at doing that. So don't worry, you're in good company.
Yeah. So whilst I was reading Uzumaki, I was like, I love this. I need more. So I bought Gyo.
I always say Gyo. Gyo, but yeah. I don't know.
And Tomie.
Mm. Yep. Tomie.
Tomie. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's, when you read Japanese, you like you sound out the syllables.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
So Tomie.
No, Tomie.
Tomie.
Tomie. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Tomie.
Yeah.
Okay. So I bought those two whilst I was reading Uzumaki, and then No Longer Human was on sale at a similar time, so I got that as well. I then started reading Gyo.
Mm.
Like in our last lockdown, and immediately was like, oh my god, I love these stories so much. So then I started buying short story collections. So I now also have Shiva, Love Sickness, and Shattered.
Yep.
Then I finished Gyo. and then started reading the two short stories at the end of that, which is The Sad Tale of Principal Post.
Classic.
And the Enigma of...
The Amigra...
Amigra Fault.
Yeah, Amigira Fault.
Yeah, that's it. And I was like, I need... Okay.
Mm.
It turns out every story he writes, even the silly ones, rule.
Yeah.
So then I bought... is it Remino? Which is, I know...
The,
yep.
Reviewed recently, his sci-fi one.
Yeah, so I bought that, and I also bought his Frankenstein, which is also another short story collection. Fragments of Horror, which is another of the short story collections, and whatever the other one... Venus... Something...
Yeah, very recent one, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And then also had to stop myself from pre-ordering, because another
collection... Venus in the Blind Spot.
Yeah, Venus in the Blind Spot. So, four of those are currently in the post for me, and... I had to just relax because he's got another book coming out in a couple of months. And I was like, oh, should I pre-order it? And I was like, no, you have so many
Read
you
the,
haven't.
You gotta
yet.
Finish the books you have first. Christ almighty.
And Tomie, which is not how I expected to say that word. Mm-hmm. Anyway, is really, really long. So like I should.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be fine for a while. But yeah, Uzumaki, Gyo. The Sad Tale of the Principal Post and the Enigma of
Amigira?
You nailed it. You nailed it.
Yeah. Yes. Amigira Faults were all so good.
I wanted to talk about Uzumaki. I mean, first of all, Jackson, have you got a favorite of Ito's books that you've read?
I've read, and I don't remember, unlike you guys, I don't remember really when I decided to read, because it was a while ago. Like, I reckon it would have been like 2016, 2017 that I got into him. I think I read the Enigma of the Amigura Fault just online somewhere once, and I was like, what is this? Like, I think somebody...
It's a short story, kind of a meme where like... In a cliff face, like there's like the side of a big rock basically is like the silhouettes of people's shapes start showing up, and apparently there is the perfect shape for every person on Earth somewhere on the rock wall.
Yeah.
And
it's just something crazy stuff happens to people. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I need to find more of this. And I tracked down. And again, I don't remember where or how I read any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely read Uzumaki, Gyo, and a couple of the short stories. I think I liked Uzumaki the most, probably, of the ones I've read. I haven't read Tomie. I haven't read Tomie. And I've read a couple of short story collections. And I really like all the short stories as well, but I think in terms of like the longer sort of comics, probably Uzumaki's the... I mean, and Uzumaki is so varied as a story that it's kind of like a little horrible short stories sort of together anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about Uzumaki. Originally came out as a weekly series in a manga magazine called Big Comic Spirits in 1998 and 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And has since been like compiled for in many different editions since. I think we all would have read the big chunky deluxe version.
Yeah, yep. I think so, yeah.
Which is a beautiful way to read this book. And it's about a town called Kuruzo-cho, which is a city that has been plagued by a supernatural curse involving spirals.
Yeah.
And so our protagonist just keeps seeing like weird behavior from the residents of her town, and they're all influenced by spirals as spirals start appearing in town and making everyone do weird things. And the first thing you see is like her father gets obsessed with like becoming like a snail and fitting inside a snail shell with spirals on it.
Yeah.
And he ends up spiraling his body up so it can curl up inside this snail.
Yeah.
Snail
it's
shell.
Bad. Cause that's like the first, like as the story progresses, you start like he becomes more and more obsessed with spirals and he teaches, like he figures out how to spiral his tongue first.
That's
I think.
Right. Oh yeah.
And
that's
like
right.
The first thing you see and you're like, oh no. But then there's a double spread page reveal of him in this snail, I think it's a snail shell.
Yeah.
And it is just
grotesque.
Awful to look at.
And it's truly a test. Like, Junji Ito somehow manages to take such a, not an innocuous idea, but like, it is not a frightening concept. If you said, like, a man spirals himself up to fit in a snail shell, that just sounds like a stupid riff or like a silly thought or whatever. But somehow he manages to make it just the most horrifying thing ever. And I mean, like, that's, I think, what makes him such a good creator or whatever. Like, one I always think of is, it's the short story, I forget what it's called, but about the guy in the chair, you know?
The human chair.
He becomes a chair.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's frightening about that story. I could not even begin to explain why the idea that the chair you're sitting on has a guy in it is scary, but it's so upsetting. And it's the same thing with Uzumaki. It's like, oh, a man spirals his tongue. You're like, oh yeah. But then you see it and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my
it's like,
God.
Yeah, fully out of his mouth, like coiled around and around in this impossible shape. Yeah. Very, very awful.
Yeah. I think Junji Ito, and this is something that like Gio has a lot as well, which is like an idea that if you're explaining to someone, you're like, this is just sounds silly.
Yeah.
But then when you read it, he's really good at like, he'll let the idea be silly for a bit. But then when he starts showing you like what's happening and the art style or like the slow reveals, you're like, oh no, this is actually just making me feel like
upset
and full of dread, and it's cool, but it's disgusting.
Well, I guess it's because he's like, oh, a man figures out how to spiral himself into a snail shell. And you're like, that's silly. But if you really saw it, it wouldn't be silly. it would be horrible, which it is in the comic.
Yeah.
I think what's so successful about the book too is that the protagonist, she never seems to lose her cool, but everyone around her descends into madness as they become more and more obsessed with the spirals in the town, and she loses everyone close to her.
Yeah, for sure.
And like another good pairing is like her boyfriend in it. Like he's like from a similar perspective as her, except he's not obsessed with spirals, but he's like, this town is cursed.
Yeah.
So he starts like, he kind of becomes like a recluse. Like it kind of eats at him in a different way. And you're like, well, no, that's fair enough.
That's
he's
also like, we're a reasonable all doomed. Reaction. Like, yeah.
Like, he's like, I've tried to leave, but it always just, I just get spiraled back to the town, basically.
I think a thing as well, thinking about it now, is like, you know, people say that good horror, and they're mostly talking about movies, but I think it applies to all kind of like stories. They're like, good horror is about like the unknown.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You don't show it or whatever. Yeah. You don't show the frightening thing. But Junji Ito somehow manages to completely like reverse that. Like, I'm thinking about the fact that Uzumaki, from the perspective of the protagonist, there's the descent into like, oh no, the town is in like serious trouble and we got to do something about it is so late in the game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like not like my dad is a spiral and it's kicked off. It's like my dad is a spiral. Well, time to go to high school. You know what I mean? Or like it takes a long time for it to become like a, I don't know, for it to like kick onto the.
Slowly, like the way the progression of the book is like the dad dies from being a spiral, gets cremated, the fire from the spiral. Fire from the cremation
comes
place,
out as a spiral.
Comes out as a spiral and gets spiraled into like a lake. And everyone's like, hmm.
That can't be good.
Yeah, that can't be good. Then, yeah, like
the lake slowly, is just eternally whirlpooling.
Yeah. And then you slowly get like more, like one at a time, people start to die. And then you get like, because it's the boyfriend's dad that spirals first.
That's right.
And then the protagonist's dad,
oh yeah,
makes clay pots, and he's been using the ash from the pond. So like, all of a sudden, it's like twisted and has horrible spirals. And then you realize that no, that's actually people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, that's when it really becomes like, oh, the whole town is fucked.
Yeah, for sure.
It's great, and I think like what I love about. And what got me so hooked is that like there was this element of like, I shouldn't be allowed to read this.
Yeah.
He deals with, and it's not like taboo images. It's just like really gross and unsettling. And like, there's that shock value in his book that I know I'm going to see something that I've never seen before, or read a story from an angle that I've never thought about or even like considered as like something you could turn into a story before. And there was that feeling like, I don't know, like when you were, you know, watching a late night movie on SBS when you were a kid, like, oh, this is something that I shouldn't be allowed to be doing.
Yeah. And
there's
also
that
like
same thrill when I read Junji Ito's books.
Somehow he manages to ramp up the unpleasantness on top of, like, you think that you're at the peak of how unpleasant it could get, and then somehow he takes it in another direction. It's kind of like he'll give you unpleasant that becomes your normal baseline, and you're like, well, thank God this is as bad as it'll get. And you can see that in Gio, where it's like horrible shark creatures on mechanical gas-powered, you know, contraptions or whatever, and you're like, wow, this is horrible. The world's invaded by fish. And then you're like, oh, okay, no, it
got so much
worse.
It's
on people now, now it's not funny anymore. It's taken the next... And like, I think in Uzumaki, where like her little brother, I think it's her little brother, becomes a snail.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is horrible. This is real bad body horror. And then people are like, we want to eat that snail. And you're like, oh, okay. Okay.
Well,
didn't think it could get worse, but it did. Cool.
And yeah, like, even like he... Like, Junji Ito's writing also just throws other stuff into it about, like, curses and fate. And even, like, Gio has, like, that part of... So, this is in the, like, back half of the book, so I... Look, I...
Spoilers.
It is spoilers, I guess. But when the gas that is powering the machinery in Gio is put into people... It just, like, people are just expelling gas constantly.
Mm. Like, bloated and expelling gas, yeah.
But then, like, there's a circus, and they've given everyone that's bloated and just expelling gas instruments, and it plays a tune. And
yeah.
It's like, why does the gas have a song?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's filled me with more dread than I was expecting.
Yeah, Gyo is like one of my like least favorite Junji Ito books, but it's still endlessly entertaining.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
see,
for sure.
For me, I thought that at first I was like, oh, okay, like, whatever. But then, like, pretty much the moment, because, like, the girlfriend at the start, like, the relationship that the book starts, like, the foundations of it sucks.
Yeah.
Because the boyfriend sucks, girlfriend sucks. But, like, because, like, but then as it slowly goes on, and because the girlfriend is constantly complaining about the smell.
Yeah.
And then when he realizes what the smell is, and then, like, when she gets infected with the gas, and, like, the worst thing for her is the smell, and now she's making the smell.
Mm.
And then you get, like, the suicide. It's just all... And I was like, it just, like, slowly built to me. I was like, this was fun, and now it is not.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, a lot going on. And, like, some of the drawings in that are truly horrific, because the machinery, the mechanical legs are pipes, like, use pipes to suck the gas out of fish. And when you see it on fish, it's just going into their mouth, and you're not really thinking about it.
Mm.
But when you see it on people, they're naked, and one is going... into the anus as well.
Yeah. It's grim. It's grim.
Yeah. Really, he doesn't really do that kind of level of disgusting in any of these other books. Most of this does like weird, unsettling body horror stuff. Like,
but
there is one short story he did all about grease and pimples.
The guy pushing his face.
So upsetting.
I think that's just called something, but I think in those short story collections, it's been retitled to Greased.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part, like what I love the most is like, yeah, like this, like that super unsettling, that sense of dread you have as you see things getting worse and worse, and the characters that you thought were sane losing their sanity.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And then what's cool about Uzumaki, I think, is the sort of like, the resolution is still kind of unknowable. It's like, it reaches its conclusion and it's upsetting and it is a conclusion, but it's not like nothing is wrapped up. Nothing is really, even though it's a conclusion, nothing's really concluded. And I really like that about Uzumaki. You're just like, well, why did that? You know what I mean? Like,
I think you would love Remina.
Yeah.
Remina is a scientist discovers, or an astrologist discovers a new planet, and he names it after his daughter Remina. And Remina instantly becomes very famous and like a celebrity. But then they discover that the planet Remina is rapidly heading towards Earth, consuming everything it goes past on its way, including planets and stars. And so as the people realize that this planet-eating planet is coming towards Earth, they think if they kill the person Remina, then the planet will be destroyed too. And so it's like this crazy like slasher horror kind of vibe as the entire world tries to kill one girl while a planet with a face makes its way towards. It's so good.
It's
just an excellent concept. And I think a similar feeling in terms of ending where you're like, well, I guess that's the end of this insane story.
Well, like almost everything that I've read, I haven't read heaps by Junji Ito yet, but almost everything I've read does have a conclusion like that where I'm like, well, that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that was a horrible thing that happened. What's the one? It's one of the least kind of unpleasant ones, but for some reason always unsettles me so much, where it's about a sea monster washes up on shore somewhere. And they're like, what is this creature? Like, it's like a dinosaur from the like prehistoric times, but must have survived underwater. That's crazy. And then they're like, we can hear it's writhing. It must still be alive. And then they cut it open and it's full of everyone who ever drowned, who's been just alive, being digested very slowly over thousands of years. And it also might be hell. And everyone's like, yeah, this is bad. And then it happens. And it's the same thing. You're just like, yeah, that sucked. All right.
I'm going to read it again,
move
though.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's evocative, certainly. Yeah.
I think the one I just want to talk about now, and this is definitely, I mean, I was having a quick look at like rankings of stuff like this, and this is one that Junji Ito fans, I wouldn't say they loathe, but they definitely don't like because they think it's way too stupid. And I agree, but I think it's very fun and silly, and it's 4 pages long.
Yeah.
Which is the sad tale of the principal post, which is a family have moved into a new house. You get all of this just in the first like 3 panels. A family have moved into a new house. They've finished building the house. Mm-hmm. They've had their friends over for dinner. And then all of a sudden they hear screaming from downstairs and it's the dad. And he's like, guys, come help. I'm stuck.
Mm.
And they go downstairs and the dad is trapped under the principal post of the house, which is just a big wooden beam that holds the house up basically. And he's like, I'm being crushed to death. I'm dying. And they're like, how did you get, what happened? And he's like, I have no time to explain. And then they're like, we'll get you out. He's like, no, it's too late for me. And the house support is on me now. Just leave me here to die. And then he dies. And then the last panel is just like, and his skeleton's still under the house to this day. It's so funny.
And it's funny because that it's so like disliked, because it kind of distills everything about Junji Ito into like four pages. It's like baffling thing we can't understand, pretty unpleasant, and that's just how it was.
The end. Yeah, there's a lot of humor in his writing as well.
Like, definitely.
Like, as much as I, you know, we've harped on about how unpleasant and how much dread you have while reading, they're also like wildly entertaining and very
fun.
Yeah,
very fun too. Great books. Well, I'm looking forward to you reading all of them. Frankenstein is a personal favorite of both mine and Siobhan's. Dusha.
Oh, sick.
You'd love that too, Jackson. It's like
I remember when that came out and like really meaning to get to give it a read. So
it's just definitely the best adaptation of Frankenstein that I've ever encountered.
That's
a big call.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So I want to quickly talk about some other things that I've been reading and get your gauge on whether you think you would like them.
All right.
I am now on the final and still being written volume of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah.
By Hirohiko Araki. So this is the part 8 JoJo Lion. So I've now read Phantom Blood, Battle Tendency, Stardust Crusaders, Diamond is Unbreakable, Golden Wind, Stone Ocean, Steel Ball Run, and now I'm on JoJo Lion. And like reading Junji Ito, when you think you know everything that this writer is capable of doing within his very, you know, like his template of how he writes a story.
Yeah.
This series has been going on for over 1,000 chapters.
I thought you were about to say 100 years. Yeah, I was like, that cannot be true.
It did start in 1987.
Yeah.
And it's still going today with, like, yeah, every time it's, every volume is different characters, but nods to previous series and similar kind of power concepts. Rules concepts.
Yeah.
It's about, like, everyone has like a stand, which is like the what they call their power set, and some stands are very useful, others are ridiculously unuseful. But they all tell their part in this, in these crazy stories. And I've apparently in one of the chapters in JoJo Lion, I'm like, it's towards the end of where they're up to now, but a stand gives a TED talk which runs across multiple chapters.
That's so funny.
That's something I'm very much looking forward to.
Right.
But yeah, I know Steel Ball Run was is kind of renowned as like the favorite volume by Manz. And it is one that takes place in the 1800s, and it is a cowboy race on horseback from one side of America to the other.
That rules.
Yeah, Jackson, I think you would really love it.
People tell me I'd love JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but I've been burned so many times. But I mean, maybe I should try.
Read it first. I find, like, even as like, yeah, I've come to enjoy the way stories are told through anime, but I definitely prefer them in manga form.
In manga
first.
Form, yeah.
Especially if they, you know, if they're based on the manga, I want to read the manga first.
Well, yeah, for are sure. You going to read are you going to watch, Jackson, the Uzumaki Adult Swim?
Possibly. I mean, I'm not going to seek it out, but...
So, no.
Did you see the update they announced? So, the Adult Swim, it's actually being made in Japan. Adult Swim is funding it.
Yeah.
Are making an Uzumaki adaptation. There have been anime adaptations of Junji Ito before, and the most recent one is just, like, really, really boring and dull and just shitty.
That sucks.
It seems hard
to make something like a Junji Ito story boring. But
is that the Junji Ito I think it's just called Junji Ito Collection.
Yeah, and it's just them adapting various short stories.
Mm.
It's really lifeless. It's the opposite of what you get from reading one of his stories. But
what a shame.
The animator, the director of the Uzumaki adaptation gave an update recently.
Yeah.
And it was just like a big apology. Like, I'm really sorry. Like, you know, COVID has made this take so much longer. And like, it's like 3 minutes. He's like, but don't worry, I'm going to show you something that we've been working on, and then shows maybe 5 seconds. And he's like, that's it. That's what we got. Highly recommend watching that. Fun. Very funny.
Is that the clip? Is that like the clip that released as kind of the trailer where it's literally like the very, 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 very start of the book where it's the protagonist like walking.
Yes.
To school or whatever.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's so funny.
It gives you an idea that the animation's going to be cool.
Yeah,
but,
for sure. For sure.
And it's going to be black and white too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is great.
Very great. So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I love it. It's one that I like. I was always like, one day I'm going to read all of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and now I almost have. once I finish, I think I've got like 50 more chapters of JoJo Lion. I'll be there.
Jesus,
God,
you're reading this online, right?
Yeah. So you can read official translations, either buy them through Viz. Or like they're available at King's Comics, for example. But you can also read them officially translated on the Shonen Jump app, which is like $2. Yeah. $2 a month if you have an iPad. Honestly, you should just have it on your iPad because it's such a great way to read these very long form fun stories. And you can read the first 4 volumes, which is like 500 chapters of manga.
Jesus,
maybe a little less than that. For like, $2 a month. You could just burn through them. That's a couple of months of your life improved with the power of JoJo. But then everything since then, like Golden Wind, which is the 4th, 5th volume, they've only just announced the anime adaptation of that. And they tend to release the manga volumes. Like that story was written, it started in 1995, finished before 2000 even hit. And they haven't properly like officially translated it yet. So you have to read unofficial translations if you want to read past that point. So I'm doing the dodgy and reading illegal translations, but only because I want to read the entire thing, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the only way.
That's crazy that Steelball Run is so well regarded.
Well, yeah, but has
only been out for such a short period of time, but also hasn't even existed long enough that there's like an official translation for it yet.
That's most, Junji Ito is not a good example because most of his things get translated many years after the fact. But like One Piece, for example, gets translated 2 days after it comes out in Japan every week.
Jesus.
Wow.
So, yeah, I think like, I don't know why they drag their feet so much with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but it is something they've only just started to properly translate in the last 5 years or something.
Well, I've been burnt from official translations and rights issues and stuff like that causing huge delays, like just through being like very into Evangelion.
Mm.
And like the 3rd Rebuild film took, I think, 4 years to get officially like just official subtitles. I watched the first time I watched it, it was just because like I didn't want to, well, I'm glad I didn't wait because it was a lifetime ago, but, I watched that with like unofficial subs, I think just because,
you had no choice.
We'll probably have to wait a similar amount of time for the 4th one. It's come out in Japan and there's no sign of home release or translation. Mm. It's weird. I feel like that would do really well if they released it in cinemas here.
I thought, and I was really, 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 really excited after the Demon Slayer film just like killed it in Australian cinemas because I was like, sweet, it's in Japanese, they're playing it with subtitles, the Evangelion film's coming out later this year.
Yeah.
They'll just do the same thing. I might have to wait 6 months if that. This is going to be sick. I can't believe I'm going to get to see it in cinemas. That does not look like it's going to happen at all.
No.
Not even close to it. Real bummer. Huge, huge bummer.
Just big shame.
The Detective Conan anime came out at cinemas, though. You're going to see that? Detective Conan, Dusha.
Yeah, you're right. Detective Conan.
Yeah, that's a fine replacement, right? That'll satiate you.
It also sucks because, like, this is the last Evangelion thing, and, like, there will 100% just be spoilers everywhere soon. Yeah. And I really don't want to have this wrecked for me. I've been waiting so long. Like, and I haven't even been waiting as long as most people because, like, I got into Evangelion right at the end of high school.
Yeah.
So it's only been, like, 11. Like, by the time I see it, it'll only been of, like, 11 or 12 years. Where some people, it's like, yeah, I watched the anime in 95.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm dead of old age now.
I did watch the anime in 1995, but I thought it was too weird, so I only watched one episode and stopped.
Yeah, I have a really weird, fragmented memory of flicking, like channel surfing and catching a bit of the end of Evangelion film.
Yeah, yeah.
When, yeah, probably in the late 90s, when it would have, or early 2000s, whenever SBS would have aired it. And I remember watching like 5 minutes and being like,
what's
happening? Crazy cartoon.
Yeah, I think they aired the series like 96 or 97. And I was, yeah, back then I was like 11 or 12. And like Jackson, yeah. I was like, any anime just seemed, especially because of the trend, it was mainly the voices. I love the animation, but I just hated the dub. And so I just didn't give it a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember like seeing that, and then like, because like Toonami also started to exist a little bit later on, but around the same time. So like seeing all of a sudden seeing like adult oriented, well, not even adult oriented anime, but like stuff that was like way more hectic than like the Pokemon or the Dragon Ball I had already seen, and being like, whoa, I didn't know they could do this.
Well, one of those adult anime. Adult-aimed anime that I'm sure was in the mix back then was a little franchise called Berserk, right? Was it on the radar?
Yeah, big time. The theme song, Tell Me Why, one of the great anime opening theme songs of all time.
So I started reading Berserk at the end of last year, or maybe the beginning of this year. I got a couple of volumes from my friend and sometimes co-host of this podcast, Connor, and they sent me a bunch of like the kind of soft cover volumes, and I read the first six, and I said, cool, now I need to read the other 34. And so I started buying the little ones, and then I very kindly was sent the deluxe editions of Berserk, which are enormous hardcover tomes.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And each deluxe edition of Berserk collects three volumes of this fantastic, sword and sorcery and demons. And like, basically, if you like Dark Souls, you have Berserk to thank for it.
Yeah.
I knew it was some, again, like JoJo, I was like, one day I need to read all of Berserk. I know everyone shut up. I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I started doing it. Look, this is the first episode of Serious Issues that we've recorded since, the mangaka behind Berserk, Kentaro Miura, he'd passed away. Was it the start of June?
Yeah.
End of May at some point. Quite recently, leaving this, magnum opus of his career unfinished. So I think for the first time, I'm not going to burn through the entirety of someone's life work and catch up and then be like,
it was good or it was bad.
As soon as I finish JoJo, I'm going to reread the first two deluxe editions, so that collects 1 to 6. And then I'll make my way through the 7 deluxe editions that have come out so far. So that'll get me up to volume 21 of 40. And then I guess every 3 months or 4 months, there'll be a new volume out. Volume 8 comes out in August. And so I'll start reading Berserk 3 volumes at a time, and then wait for it to patiently for each volume to be released, and really take in this incredible story, and be sad about it every time a book ends that, like, you know, that artist and writer is no longer with us, but honoring the work as it should be honored. I don't know if either of you had much experience with this story, but like the soft cover books are, they're great. They're like little pulp novels.
Yeah.
And I love the artwork on the front cover, and I probably will collect all of those too, cause I'm an idiot. But the deluxe editions are these like leather bound, like enormous Bibles. Yeah. And the artwork is, more than double the size of the soft cover editions. And his artwork is incredible. Like, the pencil work on his drawings is just unbeatable.
Yeah.
So I really think this is just like the way to enjoy Berserk. And it's something I'll be doing over the next year and years after that too, until I finally release the final deluxe edition. And then hopefully the mega deluxe edition after that, where they collect it all in one.
How big will that book one be? Oh my god!
And then I'll crush myself with it, and that will be how I go. But yeah, I can't recommend the Dark Horse published Berserk deluxe editions enough. They're beautiful, and I'm very, very thankful to Penguin for sending some through to me.
Yeah, that's sick. Weirdly enough, last time I went into a bookstore to get, it would have been Junji Ito books.
Yeah,
I also saw that deluxe edition of the first volume of Berserk, and I was like, oh,
I think I was there. I think I remember you being like, do I get this? Do I go for it? Yeah.
And I was like, I probably should, you know, experience it a little bit before I drop like $130 on a collection.
Yeah.
It should be 80. Like the RIP is 80 for the deluxe edition. But you should be able to find it for cheaper. If
you'll get ripped off.
Yeah, maybe. I'm glad I didn't buy it then. But yeah, like I've seen bits of the anime. And yeah, like the 90s one especially is very up my alley. So I should really read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the more recent one is apparently shocking. So stay away from that one.
That's a bummer.
Okay.
will do.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were originally going to make like a collection, like do the entire anime run, and then they released 3 films and then a series after that, and everyone was like, meh.
Yeah.
But then the 90s one is just a collection of one arc, I think.
Yeah, when he was younger. Guts was younger.
Yeah.
It's great shit. It's like such good designs, and like the story is just very, very compelling. It's a treasure. So speaking of anime adaptations,
just before
we recorded, I had you both watch the new trailer for one of my favorite manga from last year, Chainsaw Man, which is recently announced. The studio doing it are MAPPA, who have recently done Jujutsu Kaisen and Yasuke. And this is their next big project is Chainsaw Man. Have you heard of this manga before?
Never in my life.
So yeah, it was written and illustrated by someone called Tatsuki Fujimoto. Mm-hmm. It starts out as like, you know, like this dumbass character who like dies and then is resurrected, and all he wants to do is like see boobs. He has like a
classic,
very, very like simple desires. Denji is his name, but then it evolves to such an insane, crushing story because within Denji is a chainsaw demon, and so basically his entire head and arms turn into chainsaws, and he can rip through people. But there's many other people who have devils within them, and it's basically like it's like on one hand it's like a classic fight manga, but then there's also it explores, you know, what makes Denji tick, what are the things he desires in the world, and why does he desire them, and why is it so unfair that he can't have them. It's a very unique and amazing, amazingly illustrated manga. And so I was very hesitant to like, oh shit, like, you know, how faithful
could
an anime be? And my God, that is a visceral and fantastic looking trailer for this anime.
It was Jackson, intense.
The big question is though, would you ever watch even one single second of Chainsaw Man?
If you had no. I like that he's got a chainsaw forehead and chainsaw arms, but still nothing about it appeals to me. I wish Levins that I could be like, you found it. You found the Goldilocks anime that is just right for me. But
just the last piece of media you consumed there?
Fast 9.
Piece of media. Yeah, last night I reread, I was just looking, because I couldn't remember the artist, I was just looking it up. I reread the comic Rat God by Richard Corbin. Do you know Rat God?
I know Richard Corbin, I don't know Rat God.
Yeah, Rat God's a strange little... imagine, so you know like every Lovecraftian story is like, guy goes to a small town, the strangers are acting strangely, oh, and they're worshipping some strange ancient god?
Yeah.
Imagine that, but the god's a rat.
Yeah.
And everyone's becoming like a rat. And it's kind of gross and visceral as well. But I always find that Richard Corbin, whereas Junji Ito's gross strangeness is kind of not wholesome is the wrong word.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's got
there's
a kind of
to it.
Yeah, they're kind of in a shocking, baffling way that I could not explain. There almost is.
Well, Junji Ito's stuff, I think one thing that kind of separates it from like just like really hectic, violent, like torture-y kind of, I guess, horror is the fact that the way that Junji Ito writes his characters, it feels like he cares about them. He's sort of just like,
yeah,
this is a character, they're fully fleshed out, and I'm very sorry, but they have to become a spiral.
Yeah, exactly. But Richard Corbin, I always find, draws horrible things and that all have pervert energy. I don't know. Something about his art style seems like he's getting off on it. I don't know. I can't explain
that
either.
Does the rat god have like a huge pair
of
nuts or something?
No, it's not ever super sexualized. Sometimes it is, but not always. But there's just something about how puffy his characters are. I don't know.
That's sick.
I still love Rat God. I think it's great. And he wrote another recent upsetting but really good one called Castle something something. But yeah, so Rat God was the last piece of media I can see.
What about the last thing you just watched? TV, movie, just a visual medium.
That would have been...
That fungus movie?
Nah, I watched Murder on the Orient Express with my family. The one with Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, I know the one.
What, have you learned anything from this?
Yeah, what are you hoping to get out of this, Tisha?
What was the plan?
I think the example here was just going to be like, look, you think Jackson...
wants one thing.
But, like, he just wants to watch murder mysteries and learn about a rat god. And anime is never going to make him do any of those things.
Lupin kind of has murder mysteries in it. I'll get you one day, Jackson.
You'll get me one day. I'm your white whale.
I want to do a Sans Pants podcast where every episode I get you to watch one episode of anime and you let me know at what point was the part where you wished you were doing literally anything else.
I think at one point a former friend of mine made me watch is it known as a mo anime where it's just people talking about
I don't know. I'm nothing. Not a massive anime head either, but like yeah,
it was just like some schoolgirls discussing fruit or something for somehow
was it
half
fruits
an
basket?
Hour. I don't know. I just know it broke something fundamental in me.
That's great.
At that point, something snapped, and I can never. The hurdle got bigger that day.
Well, thank you so much for trying to jump over a hurdle for me today, Jackson. And thanks for joining me, Dusha.
No worries.
If you want to hear these two on many podcasts, we said them at the beginning of the episode, but say them again. Plumbing the Death Star, Baseless Speculation, Thumb Cramps, Jackson Bailey Spooks America, Jackson Bailey Family Circus, How Good's
Footy. Oh,
my God. Is that it?
I think that's everyone.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. There's too many.
I won Sans Pants.
You did.
But in particular, you should check out Plumbing the Death Star because you guys are doing a spin-off series where you go through every one of the Marvel What If comic books.
Yeah, so we have a... Look, if you haven't heard of us, this is going to sound like a very expensive tier. But I promise you that there is so much other stuff there.
Yeah.
But... rather than having a Patreon for Plumbing the Death Star or something like that, we've got Sans Pants Plus, which has three tiers.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to do something special for our top tier on Sans Pants Plus. So we've started doing Plumbing the Death Star What If, which is we basically take the What If situation proposed by Marvel
in 1977 with their What If line of comic books.
Yeah.
And we I think our sort of... Our feeling is that they failed to answer those questions sufficiently, but that the most appropriate people in the world, well, we hadn't been born yet, you know?
Yeah.
And now we three, Plumbing the Death Star, me, Dusha, and Zamet, we're the people to answer these questions, like, what was the first one? What if Spider-Man had been with the Fantastic Four?
Yeah, what if Spider-Man had joined the Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
But, like... So not only is it a regular Plumbing the Death Star kind of vibe, we also, as we progress, have to learn more and more about comics to the point where I now know so much about the Invaders.
Yeah.
World War II team that is, I guess, kind of like a prototype of the Avengers. It includes like Captain America,
Namor,
Bucky Barnes,
Namor,
Human Torch, the original Human Torch.
Yeah.
And so the android.
His human sidekick, Toro.
Yes. we've got Whizzer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think. Oh, and Captain. Not Captain.
Captain Britain. No, Captain
Was it
Britain.
Captain Britain? I no, so. Union Jack.
Union Jack. Excuse me.
But Union Jack's too old. So it ends up being Union Jack 2 and his sister, who I forget the name of. Anyway, do you know it's Marvel canon? And you will learn this in What If episodes in the future. But I will just share it because this is a serious issue.
It's true, yeah.
In the Marvel Comics canon, in World War II, Hitler is in the bunker with a gun to his temple, about to kill himself.
Eva Braun has already done the deed and is lying dead behind him.
He's like, I refuse to surrender to Russia. I'm going to shoot myself. And he also says... When I die, burn my body so that I cannot be desecrated. Then the human...
the original Human Torch.
Human Torch, who is an android, not a human.
Yeah.
Human Torch.
Yeah.
and Toro burst into the bunker and say, don't kill yourself, Hitler. Don't surrender to Russia. Surrender to us, the Americans. And Hitler turns his gun to them and fires at them instead. And then the Human Torch and Torah says, well, then die, basically.
They just burn Hitler to death.
Burn Hitler alive to death.
They say, don't kill yourself. Surrender to America. He says, no. They say, well, then burn in hell. It's the great, and that's Marvel canon.
That's great.
When that's
not even part of the what if. That's just
a thing
canon.
We learn. It's crazy.
Well, Human Torch then moves to the desert and shuts down, only to be reawoken by an atom bomb test, and then he's overpowered, and then he dies later on.
It's a lot to take in.
Every single thing to do with Invaders is the craziest thing that comic books have ever done.
Yeah,
and you can explore that with us in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can hear that at SansPants Plus, right?
Yeah,
that's it. That's it. First episode is going to drop very soon, I think.
Yeah, it might not be out by the time this comes out, but it will be coming out very soon.
Yeah, this could actually be the first time we've spoken about it publicly.
Yeah.
Huge.
Damn.
Massive.
I'm going to get arrested.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for being
on
the show.
I'm going to go read some manga.
Yeah, please do. If you want to catch us online, you can. Facebook.com/group/Serious Issues Podcast is our Facebook group. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/Serious Issues Podcast. If you're already in SansPants, there is a Serious Issues channel that you can sound off in if you like. And you can catch me on my other podcasts, Hey Fam, and All the Small Games as well. Plus, this week's episode of Thumb Cramps.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
Go in the Serious Issues Discord channel and list the animes you think I would like. And I will tell you no.
Sounds like a great waste of time. Thanks so much, everybody. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.